for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Sunday evening, September the 5th, 1992. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Canada, Phoenix, Arizona, is the minister of the evening.
Jimmy, Brother Courtney, come here, please. I want you to give a little testimony here. I stand up here to be even with you.
Yes, sir.
What happened to you in the last couple of years around here?
Oh, well, I got a deliverance.
Well,
did I ever get a deliverance? I had them all the way in me that they called out legion. I had a lot in me. And I guess we can start out when I was young. And
don't get too involved.
Okay, not too long. Okay, I got three brothers and two sisters. And seemed like I was a black sheep of the family of learning anything. I couldn't learn anything. I couldn't read. I couldn't write. And I graduated from high school. Playing football was the reason I got out and got a GED. And I came to the Millers last year and taught the little children. It was great, really great. Let me turn this way where I can see everybody, if you don't mind. And it was on a Friday afternoon on the 2:30 service. And we came in here, and I got a deliverance. I was sitting right over there about where this brother Jim is sitting here from Kansas. And Brother Miller started calling some things out, and I was doing my legs like this. I felt the spirit. Boy, it was something that was wanting to come out because it couldn't stand it.
You couldn't hold your legs still.
I couldn't. And Sister Miller said, hey, somebody needs to help him. And three or four came around to me, and they went to ministering to that thing. And it cried out. It cried out so loud that most of the children were asleep over here, and the wife said it woke up every one of them. And he said, I'm not going to let him read. I'm not going to let him learn. Hallelujah. And I can read so much better now. It felt like all the time, like if I was listening to somebody ministering or hearing prophecy or something, that there was something right here. And everything I heard, it had to filter through. And I don't know what was on me. I don't know if it was an octopus or what do you call that thing wrapped around me. But everything filtered through. And I got the deliverance that I needed. And now I'm going to East Texas Literacy Council, and they're helping me. And I'm learning to read a lot better, and I'm also going to Kilgore College. And I'm going into the advanced class, and my average right now in math is 95%. Yes. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay, I got to tell something else. And my company sent me to a long-range training school, and I finished basic math. I went on into fractions, something I've never seen in my life. And then went into solid geometry, plane geometry, trigonometry. And I praise God for all that. I appreciate God doing it. It's God that did it. He did it. And I appreciate Him. I really do. Hallelujah.
Amen. You know, I think the key element of getting delivered to some things is being transparent before the Lord. Amen? And all weekend long, he's been calling her Edie. You know, he knows her as Edie. He's been calling her Edie, though. Okay? And I went back to the restroom while I was going, the Holy Ghost began to speak to me. And said, there's a gal he's worked with AT&T about 10, 11 years ago. And her name is Edie, and she put a spell on me. And I want you to pray it off me.
Amen. Praise God. Amen.
Father, we come against this witchcraft that's been just spoken against Jack by this Edie. and I take authority over it in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you foul spirit of witchcraft and control, I bind you and break your assignment against Jack in the name of the Lord Jesus. I cause you to come to naught. I rebuke your power over him in Jesus' name, and I release him in the name of the Lord. Father, I bind this up and return it to the sender in the name of Jesus. I thank you for it, Father. And Father, I cut the soul tie between him and this woman in the name of Jesus, and I release him in the name of Jesus from it now in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus.
Amen. Hallelujah.
God, hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise God. I want you to share what the Lord's got in your heart real quick. Just testify. Y'all had a good meeting this afternoon, didn't you?
Yeah.
These girls and women.
Didn't we have a glorious time? Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost just cut loose. And move through
Deanna.
Amen. We just praise the Lord for all that he did. And you know, I was just thinking about that this afternoon, about the transparency. You see, I feel so honored to have a husband like this. He's so transparent because he so wants to be free. And Deanna had mentioned something today up in the women's meeting that you have to desire to be free. And I know that there's a lot of you that have come to this meeting and you're checking things out. That maybe you don't really understand what's going on. But I'm here to tell you, once you desire to be free, you know, there comes to a time in my life when I was 31 years old, I was dying. Physically, I was dying. And I was dying spiritually. And I come to a place I had known God all my life. I had been in the Pentecostal movement. But yet I was dying and there was no one around me to help me. And I remember reading that scripture in John 10:10 where Jesus said to his disciples that Satan cometh but to kill, steal, and destroy. But he said, I came to give you life and give it to you more abundantly. And I'm here to tell you that life means Zoe life. It means the life and breath of God, and it means now, here on earth as we walk daily. It means vitality. It means strength and power and might. It means health and healing. And I read that and I looked up to the Lord and I said, I have not seen that life. And if you don't intervene, I'm going to die. I know I am. And I tell you, I wanted it. I desire to be free. I desire to be healed. I desire to have my own identity. I wanted to know who I was in Jesus. Why was I born in this earth? What was my purpose? There had to be a reason. And I want you to know that that was what it took for God to begin to move on my behalf, because my desire reached heaven. And he heard my desire and my plea. And I'm here to tell you, this might be strange to some of you, this camp. It might be strange deliverance. It's against what most of us were taught. But I'm here to tell you as a witness of the things that are true. And it works. It's truth. And it's what the Church of Jesus Christ has been missing for many, many years. There is a real demon. There are real spirits. And if you desire to be free and you call out to him and you're willing to be transparent, as my husband was tonight, he will meet you where you are.
Yes,
and I tell you, but it takes a desire. It takes a desire of your heart. It takes a hunger. As the Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, do you know that Paul was an old man when he wrote in Philippians to the church of Philippi? He was in jail. If anyone knew Christ, he knew him. But yet he wrote in that letter to that church that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. And if Paul could write that in his latter years, he still said, I want to know him. I don't know him the way I could know him. I could know him more. I want to be closer to him. I want to know how he thinks. I want to know how my father feels. I want to know how it feels to know what his heart is like. There's an old Baptist song that talks about near to the heart of God. And that's the cry of my heart. That's my prayer for 1992, that I may be near to the heart of God. Take me into that place where sin cannot molest.
Yes.
Near to the heart of God. Hallelujah. And if you desire to be free, let the reasonings of the mind, the speculation, tear them down. Put them under your feet and say, God, I want truth. I want to know truth. bind the spirit of truth around my neck. Like it says in Proverbs 3:3. It says, bind the spirit of truth and mercy around my neck. And write it on the tablets of my heart. Let it not depart from me. And he will do what he's faithful. He's faithful. Yes. But if you don't want it, you won't get it. It won't work for you. But if you really want it, and you really want to be free, he will meet you. Amen. And you know something? I really love him. I really love him. By the time I would go and hold every one of you and impart to you the love that God has given me for you. Because you're special. And if you can leave this camp knowing that Jesus really loves me, he loves me, and you have found a place near the heart of God.
I wrote this next song at a time that I was kind of hurt, and sometimes when you get that way, you, as a songwriter, you want to write songs to fight back, you know. Could you do that from the pulpit a lot, you know. Someone expresses how they feel, and so they take the pulpit and use it as a time to hook them. And some of y'all know what I'm talking about, because some of y'all been whipped. And so I had my guitar. I sat in his bed in my bedroom, and I had my guitar, and the Holy Spirit said, I'm talking to you tonight. This is for you, Jack. See, I want to take you and change some things in your heart. I recorded an album actually called The Harvest Is Ready. There's a lot of story behind that album. I got stories behind every album I got there. They're $8 a piece. That's what they sell for. It cost me $60,000 to make them. People don't see that, but that's what it cost to make those albums. And I remember my third album, I take his praise, this time his praise is on me. I remember my son left home. My heart was broken. And I wasn't in no mood to do an album. I wrote some songs. I wasn't in no mood to do an album. A guy called my wife on the phone and said, gave his name and said, I want to underwrite this album for your husband to do. How much would it cost to do an album? And she told him about what she thought it might cost. And she didn't know what underwrite meant. She had to go look in the dictionary. And so she found what it meant. She realized this guy wanted to pay for this thing. And so, that's where she was at. You know, it just caught her so off guard, you know. And so he said, well, I'll be at church Sunday morning, and I'll see him about it. So Sunday morning came. I was in church, went in the restroom. And he walked in there and shut the door, and he had his cowboy boots on, so I knew he was all right. So he introduced himself to me, and I'd never seen the man before in my life. And he'd been in church listening to me sing a little bit. And he wrote me out a check for $5,000 and said, here, start recording. Need some more? Come get me. He said, but I want to tell you something. I said, nobody should know about this but you and me. I don't know tax deduction. It's you, me, and Jesus. I don't know what I'm telling anybody. And he walked out the door. And God's able. I mean, this guy's going to have an album very soon. She needs an album. Not to have an album. She needs an album so you can be blessed. See, and some of y'all need to lay on your heart. God's laying a heart to help her get an album. You know, I think it's time. It's time to start focusing on that. Start getting your music together, sister. He's able to do a little far and above what you'd ever dream or think about. It sounds, you know, we booked for the 13th in Dallas. We're going to be going to Dallas from here. And we got booked at one church camp. I don't know where we're going to be at, but we're going to be where God has us to be. I know that. He didn't call us. You know, I left AT&T. I want to tell you something. I left AT&T with 18 years of service. Dick knows. He used to work with me. He's an engineer for AT&T. Was. Now I'm getting off this. I'm trying to build your faith to tell you something. Man, I'll tell you something. I left AT&T, 18 years of service, and God said, go. See, and I said, well, I got 2 more years to retire. He said, well, I'm telling you, come on. See, I prayed for 18 years to get out of that place. See, and then when I got to the place where I was contented there, he let me go. See, I was contented there. I was vice president of the union there. I don't know why. I kept asking myself, God, what in the world am I doing in this thing? This is the most corrupt thing I've been in my life. said, but you know what they did, Jimmy? They came and asked me to become vice president of the union. You know why? She said, you're the only guy in this place we can trust. I said, praise God. And I went through all the Mondale stickers and everything. I said, I ain't voting for Mondale. That's crazy. I hope no offense for y'all, but that's just where I was at, you know. I'd take my stance. Well, up there at TNT, man, I tell you, we had it all fixed. See, I was going to do a couple records and retire 20 years, and my son's going to be out of high school and going off to college, hopefully on a scholarship, and my wife, we're going to hit the road and just, you know, just do it like, you know, I had it all planned. You ever have things planned? And then God shows up and messes the whole thing up, see? My son leaves home. It broke my heart. A year before his graduation, this kid was, yeah, I'm not talking no druggie here, I'm talking, this kid was straight A student, he was student body president, he was governor of Boy State, Arizona, the fastest miler and half miler in the United States, second fastest time in the world at age 12. This kid had it together as far as the world's concerned. But I want to tell you something, he had the best the world could give me, and he wasn't good enough. See? Yeah, and I tell you what, I lacked in my area, and we're going to talk about that commander later on. But God said, now it's time for you to come on and go with me. You mean if I walk out now, I've got to walk out by faith. And some things started happening in my company, and I walked to my boss, and I'm leaving. He said, where are you going to go? I said, I'm going to go preaching and singing. He said, what? I'm going preaching and singing. I come down to the last while. I mean, it was like time for me to leave, and everybody was kind of watching there. And I wasn't trying to be stubborn. I just had my peace in my feet, see. So I went to a lot of counseling. I went to a lot of people, see, to ask, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? See, I went to my pastor. I went to friends, my wife. My wife said, I'll, you know, wherever you go, I'll be glad to go with you and be part. I'll be right by your side, honey. She wouldn't tell me. See, we want someone to tell us so we can have someone to blame when it don't come down, see. See. So nobody would tell me. And my wife said, don't you read Kings sometimes? So I used to get up in the morning real early, like 3 o'clock in the morning. That's a good time to hear from God if you want to hear from him, by the way. At 3 o'clock in the morning, every time I look at my eyes, I see 3 years ago, that little digital. I got up and I got my Bible and I started reading Kings. I read about that prophet by the name of Elijah. And God told Elijah, you go put your mantle on Elisha. I'm calling him out. Out of my room. And I read about Elisha plowing, just like one of the guys, man. Just one of the guys, a peasy plow boy. And here came Elijah. Walked behind, dropped that mantle over him. And the Holy Spirit hit that room. He said, I'm putting my mantle on you now. I'm putting my mantle on you now. And from my head to my toe, I knew it was time to go. I got up next morning and said, Carol, we're going to full-time ministry. I don't know where we're going. I know who's going with us, though. And I left. 18 years of service. I walked out of AT&T plant the last day and walked in that bank on 33rd Avenue, Indian School Road, Phoenix, Arizona. I put my last paycheck in the bank. I said, Lord, you got everything at home. My house is yours. My son, you got him. My wife, me. My money is yours. All that I have, I'll give it to you. You know what he said to me? He said, good. Because now all I have is yours. I said, what a trade. See? All of what we have for all that he has. Can you get a hold of that? Man, what a trade. I sit down and wrote this song. I said, here's my... If I could put a testimony in, this would be it, I suppose. Take this clay and mold me again. I didn't know what I was going to do, but you do.
horses for the kingdom. Some clay, some wood, and some gold. Which one will your heart choose to behold? You see that clay, it's so rich, so fine. And the wood, it's consumed by the fire. Oh, but that gold endures the breaking. And that gold endures the fire. So take this clay and mold it here. I need to feel the touch of the Master's hand. So many times I've been broken in two. Found the time to mention things we never had.
river and to share some thoughts about the family of your life. I've seen my father and me. I guess that's how I was meant to be. And I find my more and more life in each day. I notice I walk the way he walks. I notice I talk the way he talks. I'm starting to see my father and me. Now looking back, I can recall those times we disagreed. And I could not take hold of his old-fashioned ways. But the more I try to prove him wrong, the more I prove him right. And I know why he still stood by me when I went through that stage. Seeing my father in me, I guess that's how it's meant to be. And I find notice I walk the way he walks. Notice I talk the way he talks. I'm starting to see my father in me. And I'm happy to see my father in me.
I like this. I don't know what I ain't thinking about this, but I remember as a kid I used to watch cartoons. You remember watch cartoons when you was a kid? Some of y'all still do. But I forget what cartoon it was, but there's one cartoon where old Daffy Duck or somebody was always getting in a fight with his dog, man. His dog was always tearing him up. And his dog had a leash on it. A chain, I guess, next to the doghouse, and he'd run so far as that leash would go, and he would stop. He couldn't go any further. So old Daffy Duck, he knew where that leash mark was, so he put a line down there. And he'd walk up to that line, he'd just holler something smart up at that dog, and here came that dog just growling. And he'd run as hard as he could, and he stopped, and he'd be growling, and old Daffy Duck would be looking at him, be slapping him. You know, because he knew he couldn't cross the line. Now, that works good until someone come by and move the line. See? And some of us get kind of foxy, and we think we're going to just grab the old devil and wheel him around when we want to, and we can just kind of slide on a few things, and then the Lord says, okay, let's move the line on this thing and see what happens. So the line gets moved, and then he gets tore up. And he got a little less cocky, you know what I'm saying? And so he began to be more aware of some things. I looked at us this weekend. I remember when I was in boot camp. How many of you was ever in the military? Amen. I was in boot camp, and man, we had some hard times. I first time I was sitting in the yellow footprints, I'm saying to myself, what in the world am I doing here? I mean, what am I doing here? People hollering at me and carrying on stuff. Y'all know what I'm talking about? This guy right in my face. He didn't like me at all. He talks about my family all the time. He's always talking about my family. You know, and he didn't know none of my family. But he talked like he did, though. And this, he had right on a few occasions. I never saw my dad. My dad was a bootlegger in Paris, Texas. And I just didn't never lay eyes on the man. And he was in prison for 19 years, give or take a month or two, I guess. He got out, and he got shot in the chest 6 times and was killed. So I didn't have much of a father image. I didn't even have a father, much less an image. So that might be why I'm a little bit off-center in some areas. I don't know. But I want to tell you what happened to me. I began to get a father's heart because I never had a father. And my boy was born, I said, I'm going to do him right. I'm going to give him everything I can. I'm going to spend that time with him. I'm going to really put myself into my son. And then that was betrayed on me for a few years. And the brokenness came. And I crawled on my hands and knees for weeks at a time, lost 20 pounds because of a broken heart. My wife told me later, she said, I thought that you were really going to die of a broken heart. And I probably would have if God didn't show up. And he showed up. You know, he's always on time. And he started begin to birth in me, especially in the last year and a half, I guess, a sensitive area of a father. And a spirit of a father is, I mean, I might be younger than most of y'all, but older than quite a few, but the heart of a father is the heart of God. It's because God is the Father God. And a lot of us have a hard time relating to God because we never had a dad to look at. We never had that father to guide and direct us in the right ways to go. But my Bible says he'll be a father to the fatherless. And you know, he will do that. He has done that with me. He's still doing that. And as we progress later on tonight, I want to talk about some areas concerning the father. But I looked at boot camp. I was in boot camp about how hard it was and the things we went through and the difficulties we had. I remember we went through a gas chamber deal where we had to get, you know, as a gas chamber. Was you in the service? You know what I'm talking about? You go in that gas chamber, they you know, you go in a smoking room with all this gas, and you got a gas mask on, and D.I. walks up and slaps you on the side of the head to see what's on tight, and all he's really trying to do is pull it off of you. And most time he does. And he, well, wham, hits that sucker, and the gas can get sick, and you can't find your way out. You're bumping into walls, hitting folks, you're falling down, and it's just a mess in there. It really is. And so you get out of this thing, and you go through all this nonsense, but what it does, it starts building it together. We have 55 guys in that barracks, man. And come time for us to graduate, for us to get out of there, we sit around and we cried, grown men. We hugged each other. So we began to build a camaraderie that was, so we went through something together. See? The only thing I could say negative about this camp, if you don't say anything negative, I'm just going to give you my aim negative. Just my input. You know, is that I wish y'all had name tags on so I could remember the names a little bit better. And I mean, there's ways you can do that, I guess. I used to have those in my conferences, but some of your faces I remember, but names sometimes slip me. But I remember your faces. I remember situations. But you're going through things this weekend, and God's meshing together and doing changes in all of our lives. And that's good. Amen? When I was in the Air Force, and I was an electrician, and I used to have to climb poles for a while. That's part of my training. And I went up to this pole, and these guys, they had no mercy. And, I mean, they just say, here it is, climb it, you know. Right, you know. So I get his gas on and his belts and stuff, and I get up there, and his gas says, he climbs up, my sergeant, he climbs up ahead of me and puts this little belt around this pole, and he leans back into it, see. So he said, you can come on up and strap over the top of mine, and if you happen to fall, then mine will catch you. I said, that sounds like a good idea. You know, I was 18 years old, and I climbed up that pole, and I started to wrap around. He said, let me help you here. So he, that's the first mistake. And he said, He grabbed my belt and handed it to me the other side, and I strapped it on. He said, I just leaned back and relaxed. And so I did. I said, man, I felt like I'm kind of close to this thing. And what he did is he's on the other side of the pole. See, I'm over there, and he's over here. He grabbed my belt and went like this and took about, 4 or 5 inches of slack out of it. And I kind of folded it and held it like this. And then I got nice and comfortable. He let go of it. See, I went back about, this far, but I thought I was gone. See? And he started laughing, thought I was funny. And I'm getting my cigarettes out going like this, you know. That's probably when the devils came in right there. I got a bunch of them that day. So we get this old big old bit and brace and started drilling inside this post. And kind of, he said, I want you to practice putting cross arms in. So I drilled a big old hole in there. And this crew saw it. Poles, if you soak them in creosote, which is like an oil, it's really itchy stuff, it's not good. And so, you never touch a pole, you know what I'm talking about. And so he tells me, look in there and make sure the hole's straight. Now, ain't that stupid? Yeah, looking to make sure the hole's straight. So big old, I stick my eye over there, and he goes, like that, and blew it all in my face. So they learn all these things. This is military stuff, so you get kind of paranoid after a while. So I'm finally climbing this, I'm getting to a point here, hang on a second. I climbed this 80-foot pole, and I'm on top of this thing. It had a 750-watt light bulb about this big around I had to change. And I'm up on top of this thing, and I got this cover off, and I got my hand here hanging on a pole, and I'm turning this big old light bulb with this other hand. And my sergeant looked up at me, and said, there's old Canada. One hand for the Air Force and one hand for him. Because I wasn't going to let go of that hand. I was going to hang on, because I wasn't trusting that belt yet. And God's saying to a lot of y'all, it's time to let go of some things. So you're trying to serve God, and you're hanging on one hand. See, if you want the full blessings of God, you got to make a cup. Because if you don't have one hand up there, then you're going to run them off. See? So get them both up there and surrender. See, this surrender here, you see the movies where they stick the guns in people's faces and they stick their hands up? That's what surrender is. When you raise the hands up, it's an act of surrender. So Dee Dee said yesterday, I think it was. So it's an act of surrender. So praise God. So I'm still asking and challenging you to let go of some things and let God do what he wants to do. I want to talk to the men about some things tonight if I could. You know, I want the women to hear, and don't be amen a whole lot, okay? See, let the guys amen. I'm talking primarily to the men, but these type of things is good for women to hear them too. So let's just take it easy on the guys, all right? help me now. Amen. As part of a study some time ago, inmates were once made a special offer. They could obtain free Mother's Day cards and Father's Day cards to be sent to their parents upon request. Interesting enough, the inmates repeatedly requested and mailed cards to their mothers, but not one card was asked for the fathers. Of all the inmates, my wife and I, our ministry goes into prison once a month when we're home. And that's quite a statistic. If someone come to me for counseling and I only had 5 minutes with them, I was limited in time, the first question, probably the only question I'd ask them is, what's your relationship with your father like? When you tell me that, that would tell me a lot about where you're at and what's happened to you and where you're going. God's established a natural family. He's established a spiritual family. There's a parallel here. Amen? Y'all can amen anytime you want to. And I ain't going to upset me. That'll help me know you're out there still, okay? Amen. Okay, the natural family has been established on the earth. And God has ordained the man or the husband to be the person, the representative on earth over that. He's ordained that. The spiritual family, God the Father, is in charge of that one, as you should know. Okay, Jesus was never called the head of the home. Jesus was called the head of man who is the head of home. Amen? Amen. So if Christ is truly my head, then he'll reign through me to my family. Amen? So as God's representative, the father, the man has certain responsibilities laid out for him. In Deuteronomy 28:41, let's turn to that real quick. Deuteronomy 28:41. Moses speaks to the fathers when he describes the curse that comes from failing to obey God's word and fulfill these responsibilities. Hallelujah. I want y'all to see this. Dr. Null said this afternoon, he says you retain more when you see it, not just hear it. You see it and write it down, you even do better. Amen? I want you to look into this. Deuteronomy 28:41, in this part it says right here, thou shalt begot sons and daughters, but you shall not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. Many fathers, many men of this generation have failed their responsibilities, and as a result, their children have gone into captivity. They've gone into captivity to drug addiction. They've gone into captivity to sex addiction. They've gone into captivity to disorder and rebellion and rejection. Hello? You know that's all around you. Amen?
Amen.
Hosea 4:6. You've heard this one before. You turn to it again. I want you to see it. You've probably seen it before, but let's look at it again. Warns of another curse. When we say curse, that's pretty strong words. That's what God chose. So that's good enough for me. But another alternative word for that is consequence. That's a modern day term. You know, if you violate God's word, there's a consequence to this. Okay, so we'll go with the consequence now. The people have rejected God's knowledge, and he says this, I will also forget thy children. The children suffer for the sins of the fathers. Amen? Now here, Exodus 20, verse 5. You just now got to Hosea, didn't you? We're going to go to Exodus 20, verse 5, and I'll wait for you there. We were there once today. We'll go there again. We'll go to 20, verse 5. Exodus 20, verse 5. Okay, let's look at that one. I'll wait on you. Now, Hosea 4, 6. You already gone through that one, but I did. The last part. It says, I will also forget thy children. See, the last part of the scripture there. I'm getting to a point here. Exodus 20, verse 5. It says, visiting the iniquities of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generation to those who hate me. See, what do you mean by hate? That's a pretty strong word. He gave a definition today of what that means. See, God said, if you love me, you keep my commandments. See, if you don't love him, you don't keep his commandments. If you don't love him, you hate him. Ain't no in-between on this thing. You're either on one side, you're either in it or out of it. There's no in-between. Ain't no gray zone. See, if you're standing on the fence, you're on the devil's side. See, if you're on the fence, you're on the devil's side. If you're on the fence thinking about something, you're on the devil's side. You got to get on God's side and stay there. See? Amen? Now, an interesting question here I want to ask. It says, visiting the iniquities of the father. It doesn't say anything about the mothers. Uh-oh. It talks about fathers. It talks about the man's responsibility. Eve made a mistake. Who did God talk to? He talked to God. He talked to Adam. Adam, come here, boy. I guess that's paraphrase. That's Texas. But they had a discussion. He talked to Adam. It was a man's responsibility. Okay? We're going to stir some guys up today, I hope, or tonight. Okay, now the good news is right here. God also gives up blessings. We go to Malachi 4 or 5, and for you Spanish-speaking people, Malachi. Malachi 4 or 5, it says this. This is the good news. How many want good news? I mean, I want some good news. I mean, I've been cursing this. I mean, I feel like I've been run over sometime by a semi-truck. And that's okay, because sometimes we need to. But man, I want to get roses from the dead, man. I want some, like you said, I want to get all that God has. Amen? So God wants to give us some good news here. And if you do what he says, you'll have good news. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of their children to the fathers. Now, the question is, who turns to who first? See? It says the fathers turn to the children, then the children turn back to the fathers. God says, men, you repent, turn back to me and your children, and then I will return their hearts to you. I'm telling you, nobody can turn your heart, your children to you, except God. God's the one that will turn your children's hearts back to you. And he'll only do that, guys, as you begin to do what God's called you to do and take on the responsibility he's called you to take and meet up with the responsibility he's given you, and then you will begin to hear some things. We're going to go through that later on. But God's saying to you, you turn to God, men, and do what I ask you to do, then I'll take care of the rest of this stuff. I'll begin to turn their hearts towards you. Because the God in you is what they're going to come back to. If there ain't no God in you, working in you, there ain't no reason for him to come back to you. Amen? Okay, men have some God-given responsibilities. The first one we're going to look at is called a priest. Now, how many heard that we're to be the priest of the home? Amen? You've heard that I've heard all my Christian walk, but ain't nobody ever told me how to do it. So would y'all like to know how to do it? Yeah. So would I. Now, we're going to talk about that. As a priest, it was a priest's responsibility to come before God as a representative of the people. He would come, he would stand in the gap as a representative to God for the people. And you as priest of your home, come to God as a representative of your family, of your business, of your family responsibilities. And as you do that, you take on a priesthood of your home. And that's where things start. Nothing happens till you walk into that priest chamber with God and start talking to Him and get things right. That's the first thing you got to do. Nothing happens till then. Your first responsibility in this life, men, period, is to be the priest. Nothing else is next. That's it. That's the first thing you should. Our focus is, God told me at a shower today, He said, that's the first thing. That's number one. I mean, everything else waits. Everything else waits. You hear me? You hear what I'm saying? That priesthood. So a priesthood, he walk into the presence of the Lord, he would first cleanse himself. He examine his own heart. Say, Father, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Cleanse me, Father. Wash me my sins. I confess it to you. Release me from all the power Satan holds over me in these areas. Begin to examine your hearts of pride and arrogance, selfish ambition, hate, stubbornness, and inability to make decisions. All these things. Bring them before the Lord and begin to cleanse yourself. Then you're representative. Then you begin to put on fresh oil. So then you begin to have an authority. I forget my wife. I forget my children. Release them from the power Satan holds over them. Begin to confess the sins of your family. We'll go to 1 John 5:16 if you want to. 1 John 5:16, you confess the sin of sin not unto death. See? You confess the sin not unto death. What's the sin unto death? Rejecting Jesus Christ. Right. See, the other stuff, we can bring them to God. We have an advocate with the Father. What's his name? What's his name? What's our advocate?
Jesus.
See, so we come to Jesus, come to the Father with the blood of Jesus. Confess the sins of our family. You say to yourself, well, if you knew my wife, like I know her, man, I tell you, that's an awful big old task. You know, some of y'all think you might be married to a Jezebel spirit. Some of you might be. See, I want to tell you, this is how you get rid of it. See, this is how you get rid of it. Perhaps he is a Jezebel. What is a Jezebel spirit? I mean, never heard that expression before. See? The Jezebel spirit is a spirit that dominates, is manipulative, and intimidates. God showed me this. He said, what Jezebel spirit is, it's a spirit that's against divine authority. It's against divine order. See, that's really what it is. You try to lay down divine order, and that spirit will rise up and try and confront you in a second. You know? It tries to kill the prophets of God. What did Jezebel do? Kill the prophets of God. I've seen churches after church after church, man. Prophecy try to come forth, and a pastor that's under Jezebel's spirit, you got a wife, or whatever. Not have to be a woman. Don't have to be a woman. See, it is no gender. But primarily, most of the time it is, because usually it goes to women that have been abused, have been incest victims, or have had a real bad experience with men. Sometimes it's inherited from a parent that had that kind of occasion. So you had that Jezebel power working against you. So you began to go to your prayer closet as priest and say, Father, I bring my wife to you today. This Jezebel power, this control, this domination, this rule. See? And what happened is, a lot of times these guys that are Ahabs, what is Ahab's spirit? It's a guy that has surrendered his authority to Jezebel. See, that's what Ahab did. He yielded himself to her and gave it up. He gave up his responsibility. He gave up his position. He gave it up. See, I want to tell you something, guys. Your wife, thank you, your wife can never take your place. Your wife will never be the man that you can be. I don't care how much she goes to church. I don't care how many books she reads. I don't care how much she prays. I don't care how many tapes she gets a hold of. She can never be you. You get a hold of that? She can be her, and she can be a good one. But she can't take your place. You have a responsibility and a place and a position in God that no one else can take. I can't take it. Glenn can't take it. Walter can't take it. It's your position. God has assigned it to you. He's given it to you because He trusts you. He wants you to grow in it.
This is the end of Part A. Please play Part B. Thank you. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.